You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Turned it off a bit quickly. Now, Don. This is just before we start. The doc from Sydney, Dr. Fordham, he won't be with us today. He usually comes on every other week. But he texted in, and said that he's on school holidays and he's on furlough over in Hawaii.
And you gave him permission?
Well, we're just so...
It's an important part of this.
We're so grateful that the doc comes on, but he's gone over with, I presume, with the bride. Not sure that...
Listen, I think we should leave the bride out of these discussions. I think we're...
All right, well, we won't mention the bride again or...
In future.
I'm not sure who he's going over. Probably the little nippers he's gone over to Hawaii with. I reckon he would have gone with the family, but we'll just keep it. So the doc won't be... So I'm just signalling this because the doc usually comes on today and gives us pearls and tells us how to run the show and what we should be doing and what the subjects are. So this might be pretty lame today because we're rudderless.
We'll be right because you're going to... You've started off a little differently today. First time I've seen you in long pants.
Yeah, because I've got to go to a function at lunch.
Usually shorts in the middle of winter.
That's it, Don. I've got to go to...
Why do you wear... You are eccentric, aren't you? Don, why would you wear shorts in winter?
Because I don't get cold. I've got to go to a function today for Les Twentyman, you know, the 20th man function. He looks after down-and-out youth and homeless people and that, and Doug Hawkins. And anyhow, it doesn't matter. We're going to a function at the Federation
Square.
Well,
he should be. Why can't his work? I walked through the city the other morning. Oh, by the way, Our Lady on Beaconsfield Parade was up on resting on one arm. Sunglasses on today. The sun is a little glary. Her bedding, it's pristine.
I think somebody, she's getting sponsored by a bed shop.
Well, I don't know. Somebody's got to be washing her clothes. But I was thinking, I walked through Bourke Street, or down Bourke Street there. I haven't been into the city for years. I used to work there. Melbourne was a thriving metropolis back when I worked there. It is dead as a doornail. But at the top of Bourke Street, there's a lot of homeless people. Now, it made me think, in the days gone by, were homeless people swagmen or sundowners in Australian society? Where they got off their ass or put the swag on their back and started walking the country. We don't see them walking the country as they used to, looking for work or lodgings or food in exchange for work.
I've got a question.
Now, that's gone beyond you.
No, it
hasn't. It's gone right over your head. It means you got to think.
It has not.
So what I'm saying is homeless people, have they been around since Adam was a boy? But... the people in the past took responsibility, got on the Shanks's pony and started walking with their swag. So we never saw them around the cities.
I am paying attention. I was going to ask you a question. Listen, is it politically incorrect to play knock-knock with a homeless person?
Knock-knock, who's there? Well, I don't know. Knock-knock means you could be having sex or something. Remember having a knock?
You're not serious, eh? That's
meant to be a joke, Don. What?
Is it politically incorrect to play knock-knock with a homeless person? They haven't got a home to knock-knock on. Don, now listen to me.
I reckon
there's plenty of people who were homeless in the past.
You're a bit flat today. What's wrong?
What?
You're not up. What's wrong?
You got
problems. You have.
No, I haven't got
problems. What do you do? What? What's something going on?
No.
When do you get the pins out of your leg too?
Monday. Now, Don.
Monday. Hang on. So Monday you won't be on air next week?
Yeah, I will be, Don. I'm only getting the pins out of my leg, not out of my brain. Now, Don, the reason I mentioned the doc not being on was an indirect way of saying that we're going to break protocol from what he told us we shouldn't do. We shouldn't give shout-outs at the start or even at all. I think he was angling to say don't give shout-outs because they're boring.
Well, don't do it. He's the experienced
one. Well, there's a reason I'm going to give a shout-out here, because I went to Tasmania on the weekend over to speak at a function, and I'm giving a shout-out to the captain coach of Wynyard. And his name's Bo Sharman. Very, oh, nice rooster down over there. He runs.
What did you fancy, Bo?
No, Bo.
You said a nice rooster.
Yeah, he's a nice rooster. Well, it's all right for men to say. Wait till we get on to the definition of men. That Brendan Murphy, the chief health officer, he was asked, "What is a woman?" You've got to see what's going on in this world at this stage. People are just jumping at shadows. The chief.
Yeah, anyway,
officer,
tell me a bit more about Wyndham.
Right. So, Bo Sharman, I sat with his mother and father at this very.
Geez, that'd be a heavy conversation with you.
Big function.
Who was pumping who? You wouldn't be contributing.
I was this guest speaker.
Oh, I realised, but you'd go through your little rehearsed repertoire, but then you'd have to speak to people afterwards, and you'd find that very difficult.
Don, Bo listens in, so I'm saying hello to Bo. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because I went to Tasmania. And have a listen to this. This is where we're headed, Donald. I get on the propeller plane. It's a,
An old one, DC-3.
It's not an old prop. It's a new
prop.
It's a prop plane. It's run by the adjunct to Mr.
Ansett.
No, Mr. Joyce and Mr. Joyce's airline. It's an ancillary service for Qantas.
What's it called?
It's called not Rexy. I don't know what it's called. Anyhow, I get on the plane, and this I'm not having to go at the hostie or the in-flight
attendant.
Was it a flock
of friendship?
The in-flight attendant, very charming lass, I presume.
I was just going to say.
No, and she's reading out the blurb as we get on this plane. I don't know if you did. You hear that?
She's an earthquake.
It looked like sounded like an earthquake. So I don't know if you've been on, they're sort of cigar planes. They're very narrow aisle, and there's two seats on one side of the aisle and two seats on the other. So she gets over the loudspeaker as we get on. She says, "As you're moving to your seat, could you please self-distance? Keep self-distancing in mind. That is, keep 1.5 metres apart as you're walking down the aisle of the plane to get..." So then you sit down next to a bloke or a woman, and your shoulders rub and touch, and your head is 6 inches apart for the whole way across the Tasman Sea or whatever it's called, down to Tassie. Why would you read out keep self-distancing as you get on the plane, then sit next to someone and say you're a sardine? Well, who writes this stuff, and what? And how does it get any oxygen? That sort of stuff.
I think Mrs. Joyce wrote it.
Mr. Joyce and Mr. Joyce. So have a listen to Mr. Joyce and Mr. Joyce's airline. They have now cut back. So you think I'm making this up? So we get in the plane and we strapped in, and the bloke and the pilot comes over. He says, "I'm sorry." He said, "We cannot move yet." He said, "We're waiting for an attendant, a ground staff attendant." You think I'm making this up? A ground staff attendant to come and shut the door and take the chocks, the chocks.
So
the plane won't roll if it gets windy. To take the chocks away and shut the door. Now, how long do you reckon we sat? He said, "We're short-staffed and there's only one ground staff person has been allocated to this flight." How long do you reckon we sat and waited for?
Well, he's probably at morning tea.
He probably could have been, but I don't think he was even at the airport. I think he might have been at another airport at Essendon or somewhere.
He went to Moorabbin, you think?
We sat there for 3/4 of an hour with our strapped in, waiting for a bloke to arrive to pull the chocks away from the front wheel and shut the door. I actually made a passing reference to someone. I didn't worry me. I did, but I said, "Would you reckon someone else could actually get off the plane who's in a uniform, pull the chock away, and shut the door?"
Well, you could have done that. Why didn't you volunteer?
I would have. It's a line of demarcation. So that's the only reason I'm giving Ben Sharman a shout out, because it was an indirect way of saying I got on a flight. Tasmania, and A, we had to self-distance walking down the aisle.
So what's Ben Sharman got to do with the chocks on the...
Bow. I was telling why I went to Tassie, that's all. And I was just mentioning by passing why I went down and hello to Bo. Now, so Don, and this brings us to where we're headed with this ridiculous government, the mandates and the... So a bloke texts in called Rob. I can't mention his surname. I could mention his surname, but I think I can't mention his surname, Williamson. He says... we mentioned the other day that the government shut the whole of the state down when there were 6 cases. Remember 2 years ago, 18 months ago? Mm. Now there's 15,000 cases a day. We don't have to self-distance. We don't have to wear masks. We don't have to... We can go to the football. And he says that this man, Rob, says, Metro Trains sacked me at the end of March. And if anyone can give me a valid reason why 90,000 or 80,000 people can go to the MCG to watch football and I can't drive a train on my own in the cab, then I'll give it away. Can you understand that? Why can 80,000 people go to the football and you still have to self-distance or wear masks or... We've been hoodwinked about the vaccine and all that, so it's no point going on about that. So that's the only reason I mentioned
Bo
Sharman.
See, he's got a few plugs today, Bo.
No, he hasn't.
Well, he have. You keep coming back to him now, and tying him into the story.
So did you see Brendan Murphy, the chief health officer, was asked what a woman is. Did you see that? Because, you know...
So what's his definition? No, I didn't see it, but tell me what his definition is.
It's fantastic.
Is it?
This is Brendan Murphy. What is a woman? Probably it's the wrong question. He should have been asked, what is a female? Would have been better. This is what Brendan said. The frameworks adopted to define a person's gender include chromosomal makeup, the gender assigned at birth,
No, it's not assigned.
Well, that's what Brendan is saying. Dr. Brendan is saying the gender assigned at birth and the gender with which a person identifies. Can you believe this? The gender with which a person identifies. The Department of Health does not adopt a single definition. Health policies and access to health programs are based on clinical evidence and clinical needs for all Australians, regardless of gender identity, biological characteristics or genetic variations. Our programs are designed to be inclusive and to provide better health and well-being for all Australians. That's the definition of a female. I could help Brendan out if he's snowed under with... That's just absolute drivel.
Yeah.
But that's to placate a vocal minority who would say that men can get pregnant. Wait till we get on to... I don't know if you've heard of Roe versus Wade in the States. There's a huge ruckus going on about...
Well, can I ask you just a quick question, just butting in? Do you think it's social media? That's why we've got... Would you call it respect or why are we questioning the people that are in power, like Brendan?
Why are we questioning
him? Why is it because we've got now social media? Once upon a time, we couldn't voice our opinion or our opinion wasn't heard.
Well, Brendan was asked.
I know what he was asked, but here we are questioning. You know, 20 years ago, would we be questioning people in power, our politicians? Amongst ourselves, we would.
Do you think anyone would realise that you're eating while you're doing this?
Actually, the agents excelled herself this week.
Would you think anyone would realise that you're eating? People
nice.
Say, why does Don eat while the podcast's on? I can tell that you're eating because I'm looking at you, but I'm listening to you and your decibel levels go down here when you get that stuff in your mouth. So why would Brendan... Hey, I'm going to help Brendan out.
Oh, Brendan, good.
You listen up, Brendan, baby. This is what a female is. If you take a sample of someone's DNA and they got two X chromosomes, right, they're a female. Mm-hmm. If you take a DNA sample from someone, they've got an XY chromosome, they're a male. Mm. End of story.
That's all right.
How could you have that gobbledygook definition of what a female is? You're either a genetically born female or a male. That's it. And after that, whatever you like to identify yourself as, go for your life. Do whatever you like. It's extraordinary. Why would he embarrass himself by doing that? Because they don't want to say,
they don't want to upset because there's votes.
Votes, you reckon?
But what they don't realise is that they're appealing to a minority.
They just don't want to be pigeonholed or have a campaign up to get them out of office cancelled. They don't want to be. They've got no guts. That is, it's like that Bant man and that I heard of.
No, he's the leader of the Greens.
Yeah, I said that Bant man. And there was another woman who said.
Lydia Thorpe?
No, it wasn't Lydia Thorpe. It was someone else about removing the Australian flag because it was abhorrent to Indigenous people.
Well, we mentioned that last week.
Why do people not push back and say, "Hey, don't come at us with all that crap"? Why don't they push back on that? Why would you remove the Australian flag, which we all live under, all of us? And how many days can we go on saying?
But
that
we're paying.
We're all
you realise we're paying their salaries too, don't you?
Whose salaries?
The politicians.
Yes, I know. That's
these
exactly
people
the point.
In power,
they're meant to represent Australia.
And interesting that the politicians are giving themselves a wage rise, especially in Victoria the last 2 years. Yep. Everybody else is struggling. You know, inflation's going through the roof, but
treacherous.
They can certainly look after themselves. And to say and hide behind the fact that an independent body makes these determinations, please.
Treacherous, sycophantic miscreants they are, Donald. They are just
I'll take your word for that.
Pathetic people. Right, so now, have a listen to this. Now, you think we make all this stuff up?
No, I just think you make it up.
Well, I can show you where it comes from, if you like. The CDC, which is the Centre for Disease Control in America, and that will be a sweep over here, this is how they've issued guidelines. I've seen them written down. Guidelines on how to have sex if you've got monkeypox. Do you know what monkeypox is?
Well, I've heard of it.
Yes, and I know people are going to jump up and down about this, but that is predominantly a gay.
Is it really?
Predominantly a gay homosexual transmitted disease. Now, that I'm not saying that. That's what they say. And this is how they say you should go about having sex if you've got monkeypox. One, keep your clothes on. So if you're having a root, keep your clothes on. Can you?
I don't think I'd be having sex if I had pox.
Oh, that of course is the point, Don. Now, and you think I'm making this up, but I'm reading it out verbatim. If you want to have sex, keep your clothes on. Avoid kissing. Right? This is the second thing. Now wait for this, you'll think I'm making this up. Cover up your rash. So if you have a rash, cover it up with a bandage or a band-aid or some sort of swath.
Well, you've got your clothes on, so hey.
Well, they say preferable to have a root with your clothes on. But cover up your rash. That was their edict. I've seen it written down. Or have, this is another alternative, have virtual or phone sex. So have your partner or whoever you're doing it with 6 feet away and either virtually have sex by doing the motion or get her on the phone or him on the phone. Wait, listen to this. Masturbate in front of your partner but at least 6 feet apart.
Do you want to show it? It is contagious. Like for COVID, it's 1.5 metres, but for this, it's just on 2 metres.
Well, that's what it says here. Would you like me to show you where that's written down?
No, you... you.
Right. Sex with your clothes on, avoid kissing, cover up your rash, have virtual or phone sex and masturbate when you're 6 feet apart. So, Don, if I was going out with you because and you're 6 feet apart now, I could get the old snag out and try and take the top off it, and you'd sit there with your eyes bulging out like organ stops, and you'd say, my word, that's a beauty, Sam. And I'd say, yes, Don, give us a look at yours, and you'd rip yours out and try and...
Oh, you think that had happened, do you?
What the, but that's what they're saying.
Oh, I see.
I don't think it would happen with you and I.
Oh, unless, you don't think
unless
so,
Unless we're
right.
going that bad.
Oh, although, I see. Well, sure. How are you going?
Well, I tell you
what. Bit of a drought at the moment.
You're looking pretty sharp at the minute, Don, from sitting over here. Anyhow, so can you believe this? That's what the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in America, says. That's how to have sex if you've got monkeypox. And then they said, they were worrying about people getting bird flu, and they've said, please don't kiss, or it's not advisable to kiss or snuggle chickens, because a lot of kids have chickens as pets, you know.
What do you get, chicken pox?
Good, well done, Don.
No.
Well, I don't know how you get chicken pox, but I don't think you get it from chickens, do you?
No,
that's a good question. Does chicken pox?
I don't know.
Have you had what happens if you've got nuts on your wall?
Well, you get nut rash, I suppose.
You got walnuts, haven't you? What if you've got nuts on your chest? What do you got? Chestnuts.
Oh, have you?
What if you've got nuts on your chin?
You've got a problem.
You've got an extraordinarily pleasant sexual position. Now, Don, listen to me. Don't kiss or snuggle chickens. This is the CDC. What sort of group is this? This is the main health department in America telling you how to have sex if you've got monkeypox and not to kiss or snuggle chickens. Do you think that's extraordinary? Okay, you don't think that's extraordinary.
No, I'm just fascinated by your source.
Now, there's a big... you got any topics?
Well, I have, because our friend... We've got a friend out there. She'd like to come on, Fiona Byrne. She wrote a story, and a friend sent me about... I watched this series. Well, I thought I'd better come across it. It's called Married at First Sight. I watched it a couple of years ago in its entirety and couldn't believe what I was...
Called what?
In its entirety.
When I called what?
Married at First Sight.
Yes.
So I watched the whole series. This is going back quite a few seasons ago. Anyway, Fiona... must have written a story about it last week. Anyway, a friend of mine... Get her
on.
Excuse me, you're right there with that belch?
Did you hear that?
Did you see the bars move?
Go on.
And anyway, this is what it must have... Anyway, this show is morally destitute, my friend writes. Sent me a message with this thing.
This is Fiona.
No, not what? She's destitute. Is morally destitute. No, the premise has
Fiona
always
writing,
been repulsive. No, this is,
no,
this is must be the way this show, to remain relevant, it must be exploring the boundaries. And a friend wrote to me about this Married at First Sight. Now, if you haven't seen it, apparently it must be, you know, on the edge. This show is morally destitute. The premise has always been repulsive, and sadly, it is followed slavishly by young and mostly women. Call it RAF. Oh, okay. That means rooting at first sight, if you like, or SAF or FAFS. Set in a nightclub and put it on pay TV. You could call it Married, but on mainstream TV, and then... pressures contestants into sex. Apparently, they must be.
Yep.
They were discreet when I watched it, but now it must be out there. So the national TV audience, including their parents and grandparents, can hear the details. And this is beyond the pale. What are we all thinking to allow a show like this? And in the same week, some poor footballer hugs his girlfriend's top,
yep,
and is almost burnt at the stake. In other words, that's Jordan De Goey.
Yep, we'll get on to Jordan Dugowie in a minute. Or do you want to get on to him now?
Well, go for
it. Well, so that thing you mentioned there, you make an extremely good point.
No, this my friend makes an extremely good point.
You're reading it out. A woman sued that organisation. A woman sued the producers of that show.
Married at First Sight.
Either here in Australia or in America. Because they got... they want them to have sex. They want them to be as promiscuous as possible. And they were at a function on being filmed, and the woman had far too much to drink, and the bloke propositioned her and actually had sex with her without her consent, because she was out of it. And she sued them because she wasn't in a fit state. It wasn't a mental state concede or not to say that. And all hell broke loose, and she got paid big money because she sued them, and they didn't give a stuff. They just wanted to push get the ratings. Envelope as far as they could so that they would be promiscuous and have sex. So it's
I haven't seen the recent episodes, but that certainly wasn't the case quite a few seasons ago.
So then, Don, you have exactly what you're saying. We have the bleeding skirts and the bleeding media jumping up and down about Jordan Dugowie, who was part of his partner, the person he was with, the woman. She couldn't have cared less. She was into it. She didn't mind.
We haven't heard from her.
You want to have a look at her social media? She's been feted grandly by all the people. Said, "Oh no, it was good stuff." And,
oh really?
And I know you said he put his fingers up and stuck his tongue through the fingers, which means having oral sex, I presume. How can the media? He's away doing that. How can you spend so much time saying that Jordan Dugowie should actually be sacked or miss games of football? Who are you penalising if you stop players from playing football? You suspend them for 2 weeks because, for personal reasons, they said they've suspended him at Collingwood. Why would you suspect? All you're doing is penalising the supporters who just want the best players on the park at the one time. And if you want to penalise them, fine them or do something else, take their car away or do, I don't know, just lock their house up or put them in a caravan or something, I don't know. Why do you penalise the fans who watch? Because Jordan Dugowie happened to, with the full consent of the person he was with, do some lurid acts. He wouldn't have put them on the social media, so someone took a photo and put them on. Do you have to walk around in an airtight, hermetically sealed cage all your life? He's not doing any harm to anyone. And if you think it's giving a bad example, you've just given the best example of this show that gets away with it in the name of entertainment.
And also, talking about Jordan Dugowie, he inadvertently mentioned back in April, a joke that misfired for the president of Collingwood, Jeff Brown, back in April at a women's award ceremony at Collingwood. And it's now being released now and everybody's up in arms.
What was that?
He got up and made some reference about the girls going overseas, if you want any advice, so something along the line, and see Jordan Dugowie. Now, this was at obviously a Collingwood presentation night for their female football team.
Yep.
And that was back in April. It's only surfacing making news now, months and months later. How
because
irrelevant.
The dribblers in the media are desperate to try and get their be Andy Warhols for 15 seconds of their life so that they get some clickbait on their social media platforms. It is, what about when Jeff Kennett said to, Cyril Rioli's wife, because she had the designer jeans on with the knees cut out, he said, "Here, would you like some money to get some, to sew the threads up?" And they've screamed, I tell you, fair dinkum, the mental capacity of people who are nothing more than parasites, who are nothing more, they cling around the stems and imbibe the juices of stronger plants. That's the only reason they exist, some of those people who write all that shit. And then we had, say, St Kilda. I just heard this on the news. Paddy Ryder and Brad Hill were, they said, weren't suspended for excess partying or whatever that means, but they said that they had not been selected because the one for personal reasons and the other one was getting managed for some sort of misdemeanor. What does that mean? It being managed and for personal reasons, because of what they're out partying. Here's
apparently they were at a hotel having a drink, but we're not getting the full story. It's a bit like Lockie Hunter out at Footscray, mental illness, so personal reasons. You've got to take time off. I mean, is this? Have we come down in the last shower?
So my point about Hunter, what's his name, not Hunter?
Paddy Ryder.
And Ryder, is that the St Kilda supporters, they just want, if they're the best players to be selected to play in the football team, they just want the best players playing to see if they can win some games with St Kilda, and yet they get suspended for a whole lot of different reasons. I'd fine them or do whatever, but why stop them playing football? That's what they're there for, to give the fans some hope that the side might actually get into the finals. Who are you penalising? All you're doing is penalising the fans.
And if you really want to know, John, if that type of behaviour exists within a football team, let me tell you, you will never achieve the ultimate prize, because it shows a lack of discipline within the team. And they're not in it for themselves, not in it for the team as a whole, but in it for themselves as individuals. And that team will never prosper. So in other words, if you're in charge of that particular team, you've really got to look at yourself, and you've also got to then make changes to make sure that you've got the individuals who are all on the same page with regard to achieving a result.
So you're disagreeing with me then. You're saying that you should suspend the group.
No, I believe in Darwin's theory of evolution. You know, these what? People, Darwin, you know, with regard to football. I started in a team and we had a lot of characters when we started and we're down the bottom. But you gradually, you know, you get better players in there replaced, and then you get a team that's, you know, fairly focused, and then you have success. So
yes. What's that got to do with the people having...
Because these people will ultimately let you down. What you're saying is relevant, but... Okay, let them play, but you will find that your team will not have success because these people are not disciplined enough away from the game as athletes.
Why do you have to be disciplined away from
because
the game?
Because you've
got
well,
to be disciplined when you're playing the game.
John, if you're not disciplined away the game in your approach, you're going to be let down and you won't perform on the weekend when you need it.
I couldn't disagree with
you. So you went out on the tear when you were playing, did you?
Yes.
Well, that's why you never achieved success.
What do you mean, went out on the tear?
Well, I said to you, did you go out on the tear? You said yes.
What? Give us your definition.
Oh, you know what out on the tear is. Jeez, you haven't come to it. Jeez.
Give us your definition of out on the tear. During the summer?
No, through the week of a game. This is we're talking about in the season. Even in off season, when you're training and you train a lot harder in the off season than you do through the season, you should also be looking off after yourself.
You used to go out on the tear.
No, I didn't.
Yes,
I did not.
You told me here when we had Michael Tuck in here and you were took the side overseas from the Australian side. You were either the coach, weren't you, over in Ireland. You told me horrendous stories about you all going out partying and gallivanting around.
John, I think you... What's that left hand doing?
What?
I did not.
Out on the tear. What do you call out on the tear? Going out and drinking.
As if you've...
Going out and drinking or taking drugs or what? Or what, chatting people up? What's out on the tear mean? Everyone goes out on the tear.
Do they?
Well, I'll tell you, very best players that have ever played this game, AFL or VFL, I could mention 10 of them off the top of my head.
And did their team win premierships?
Absolutely.
Oh, they did, so name them.
No, because I'm not going to know.
Yeah, well, don't
say that if you can't back it up.
Well, just think of the great players that have played in Premiership sides who have been a little diverse.
Well, we didn't have them when I had obscure. When we had success.
What?
When we had success, we didn't have them.
Yes, you did.
Didn't.
What? You had no idea what? You're all just choir boys, were you?
Mm-hmm. You, to a degree. To a degree.
Stupid man. No, that's not right. I could name you a lot of your players.
Go on.
No, I'm not going to.
No, no, don't say things you can't back up.
I can back it up, but I don't want to. I don't want to diminish the reputation of the players because you're saying their reputation will be diminished. I could mention several of Hawthorn players.
Go on.
No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to. I'll mention it when we have a break.
Oh, that is big and brave of you.
Well, I don't want to tip them
no,
in.
No, you've got a responsibility here. You've got a podcast going. People want to know, and you're just out there teasing them. They want you to put a name to your accusation.
That look.
Now, listen, on a serious note, and this kind of got me. My daughter told me about, there's a lady on Facebook. Do you know much about drugs? I'm ignorant to it.
Do I know much about drugs?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm an absolute expert on it. Well, I'm ignorant to it. Go ahead.
Anyway, this lady, her name is Misha. She's well known down
here. Misha?
Misha.
Did you think she wanted a name mentioned? Is this a shout out?
Well, it's on Facebook.
All right, Misha.
Facebook, so it's public, and she wants to... And I think she's been very, very brave, and I thought it highlighted a problem we've got in society in the treatment of drugs. And Misha's sharing a story, and she's getting people to try and help with regard to... But she's really addressed a lot of problems because her son Archie is 16.
Is Archie mind being mentioned?
Well, his name's there.
Right, Archie and Misha. Go ahead. Where's Mr. Archie and Mr. Misha?
Anyway, unfortunately, he's addicted to ice. And there's really nothing...
How old is he?
He's 16.
16.
16.
Yep.
Why did you think that was funny?
It's young, isn't it?
I think it's... this is what worries me. So that's I would say, you know, just doing my... I'd say he might have started when he was 14.
Mm.
I don't know.
Did you think Ben Cousins was a great player and won some premierships for Richmond?
Probably not for Richmond.
No, what?
Not for Richmond.
Ben Cousins?
Yeah, no, they didn't win premierships.
No, but do you think he was a good player when a Brownlow?
Yeah, he was.
He was. He was a bit of a rebel rouser.
And I think a few others in the West Coast might have been at that time too.
Yes. Mm. That's right. Well, you said that people don't go out hitting the town or what did you call it?
What is the ultimate result for those people?
Well, they won. Well, one of them died.
Yeah. Who died?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Through drugs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But you said they had tremendous success, the West Coast Eagles.
Hang on. We're talking...
With people that went out... What did you call me? You said, have you ever hit the town? No, what did you call it? Okay. That word you said?
Hey, listen, what has that got to do with what I'm trying to make a sensible comment and a dint in our society when... this boy is in residential care. Now, he's had to, because of, you know, the family situation, he's in what's called residential care. Now, this is not, you know, you can't, unless the person...
What are you trying to say?
Well, what the person... So this boy can go out of this residential care and whenever he likes and whenever, and still procure drugs.
Yep.
Now, why doesn't the state bring in some law, and also apparently...
What law
Misha
would that
said
be?
That Australia, I don't know whether it's per head of population or as far as ice goes, it's well up on the top as far as the use of ice in a country, per head of population, I think. But the rehab is voluntary.
Yep.
Now, it should be mandatory. If a person has got any, why don't they just get the person, help them? And I spoke to a friend yesterday who said about this. He said they've really got to sink to the bottom. His son was in, you know, into drugs. He said, sadly, they've got to sink to the bottom and then they've got to really want to get help themselves. But surely you cut this off or the state or the system could step in and you see somebody that's going down that path, why can't they be admitted to a facility?
So, because they mightn't want to be. So you're saying...
Yeah, but hang on. So you let them go ahead and destroy their lives.
What do you mean, let them go ahead? You can't just go and take people off the streets and put them in an institution without their consent or their parents' consent, because they'll charge you with harassment. And I say, I'm not doing anything wrong. You can't just bail people up. If people want to take drugs...
But John, we're used to... This is our society. Nowadays, we can become so litigious. You know, we used to have institutions for people with a mental illness. Now, they might have been questionable, but what are those people were just put away or helped?
Just put away.
And looked after.
So the boy's 16, Misha, not Misha, or
Archie. But he's just one of many. Yeah,
of course
I would
he
say.
Is. So he's on ice.
Yeah.
So you saying the state or
I think
a
the
group
state
of people
or,
should come
or
around
people
and put
in
him
authority
in the back of a truck and take him to an institution.
Well, yeah, and get help. Now, in this case, apparently ICE. I don't know, but it's you do with what is it with what do you call that detox or whatever?
Yes.
Apparently, ICE or the withdrawal period spikes in 10 days. Now, there's a few courses around, and they mentioned about one in Queensland, some outback run by SAS soldiers. It only goes for 10 days. So you can go and do the course for, say, 10 days, but that's at the end of the 10 days is when the height of your withdrawal occurs.
Yes.
And then again, apparently it happens after about 21 days. So these courses that do exist now just don't go long enough.
So you're saying that you...
I think the state and the Commonwealth government, should really start and look at this.
And where do you draw the line? Who says that someone has a problem with drugs if they take them recreationally, like a lot of the footballers do? Do you bang them all into a rehab clinic or into a detox facility?
Well, I can't relate to all of that. But I would say if they're recreational, I suppose these people have... got a strong
well,
enough will.
Recreational.
Okay, but say maybe they've got a strong enough will to be able to control the use of the drug.
So I'll give you so you said that who what did you call that thing I went out? You said, did you ever go out on the town? What was the word you used? You know.
Yeah, out in the tear.
The West Coast Eagles, almost to a person, player went out on the tear and had tremendous success. What are you saying?
It's interesting too that the AFL have never acted on that, isn't it?
They haven't acted on a lot of things.
And talking about the drugs, there you go on the front page yesterday's paper, the St Kilda player.
Yeah, what's his name? He was arrested for
Sam Fisher.
Yeah, having 2 kilograms of coke. Yeah, what's happened to him?
Well, he's now before the courts and they're making some deliberation on his future.
That's a civil charge. But rather than suspend people and have if they're fair income, they should put them into rehab and they should counsel them. This is the buzzword, counsel them. They should counsel Sam Fisher if he's got into a... area of discredit and he's selling drugs or importing them, the onus on the league might be to take him under their wing and try and rehabilitate him rather than...
Why should the league do it?
This is my point, Don. If people want to take drugs, at some stage you've got to be responsible for what you do. And
but how does it get...
Why
are drugs prevalent in our society? Is it the fact that the individuals, or are they looking for something that they can't get?
Yes.
I can't relate to it because I don't know.
They're looking for some other avenue to assist them into having a...
good time?
Yes.
Well, geez,
of course, that's what
sad.
It is.
It's sad, isn't it?
Well, of course it's sad, Don. But that's... this is, we get back to Mr... The bloke from South Melbourne, the Swans up in Sydney, Dale.
Wasn't he castigated when he came out and said that in the early...
That's right.
Dale Lewis was his
spot
name.
Spot on, he was.
Dale Lewis was his name in the early 90s, he came out and said it is rife.
I remember on the footy show, it being announced, and I said, and they said, oh, no, that's a disgrace. And I said, on the footy show, I said, no, I tell you what, from my experience, Dale is spot on. I reckon he's probably underestimated it. And I got roundly condemned for that.
Even that drug policy at the AFL have got 3 strikes, and if you admit that you're taking the things, it's not a strike against you.
No, one.
Now, who was the Richmond player that did the drugs?
No,
Justin Charles.
Yes.
Remember, he was just rubbed out.
Yes. And I'm just telling you, some very high-profile players currently playing in several clubs have struck 3 times, but have had 3 strikes, but because of the publicity and the aura or the overall effect and look it gives to the AFL, they keep it under, they sweep it away, or they.
But if you've got a drug policy, it should be just 1 strike. You don't get a chance in society.
No, but fewer, once or twice if you're out.
No, John. If you're doing, you know you shouldn't. You get caught. It's your bad luck.
No, Don. If you're out in the off season and someone provides you with some recreational drugs and just at a gig or a party or something, you have a fling and someone takes a photograph of you and your life's ruined because they put that on the social media, that's not realistic.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm different. I can't relate to it.
What?
Taking
no,
drugs.
No, I'm not asking you to relate to it. But
I've got a comment.
Hey? Anyhow. All right. Hey, well, we'll wind this up. We've got a few other things to speak about, haven't we?
Yeah.
Have we spoken about any topics of substance today? I'm going to put you on notice.
Our friend wants to come on too.
Hmm?
Our friend, we should have her on.
Phoebe?
Fiona Byrne, yeah.
Phoebe. I've spoken to Phoebe.
Well, what have you said?
Well, I was speaking to Jackie Epstein.
Is she a relation to Louis Epstein? It's an unusual name, Epstein, isn't it? Louis Epstein used to make riding clothing.
What about, what was the bloke who...
Ghislaine
Maxwell. What's his name?
Tommy.
The bloke Epstein over in...
Epstein, oh, yeah, that's...
Who was a billionaire and got all those girls and... Ghislaine Maxwell is currently in prison.
She just got 20 years.
Yeah, she did. And what was his name? Epstein.
How can you have it? Do you think they had a relationship?
You know, where he had the Lolita Express.
I know what you're saying.
Bill Clinton went on the plane 26 times.
Yeah, you've said that before. But hang on. What intrigues me is, do you think Jeffrey Epstein, and Ghislaine Maxwell had a relationship? And what type of relationship would it be?
I don't think they did. I think she was just a procurer for him. Young, underage girls. And that's how Prince Andrew got implicated.
20 years.
You know, Prince Andrew got implicated that he was having sex with, which that has been refuted, except by the girl. But Prince Andrew had a new one torn for him, but Bill Clinton, who went
on
the plane...
Hang on, he had a new one torn from him?
Yes, had a new arsehole torn.
What are you talking about?
It's a term, Don.
Explain.
They ripped him a new one because he was the royalty and he went over to, like, a whole lot of other celebrities.
Jeez, the royalty have been up to it since Adam was a boy.
Well, Prince Andrew said he didn't have sex with a girl and she said he did, and so it's he said, she said. But Bill Clinton gets away with it. 26 times he went on his plane and they said, he didn't land. They used to fly around and do it in the plane. So Don.
Why do you think they're together?
Hillary and Bill, they're the most dishonest, disreputable family probably in the world, behind the Bidens. And I watched, I was over in Tasmania, I was watching a bloke called Dr. Michael Fullilove, the most boring
man. He was in Tassie?
Yeah, he was on the National Press the National Press Association, giving a speech. How boring and bland could you get?
Well, the Australian Press Council in Canberra.
Yes.
At one of those luncheons.
Yes.
Oh, okay, right.
And he got on to about Trump. And he said Trump was completely discredited and well, because he disputed the election and no one voted for him and he was just a passing fancy. I'll tell you what, Dr. Michael Fully Love, you want to get your facts right. Trump has every right to dispute the election over there. It was a rort, a rort. There were four states that allowed, without any evidence going to the legislature, the governors decided that they could have postal votes. That's against the Constitution. And Fully Love said no one voted for him. Trump got more votes from any Republican leader ever in the history of the party. So talk about people just speaking to the you're speaking to the converted, Dr. Fully Love. What a boring, stupid man. Seriously.
Geez, I hope you're up for the next segment.
Righto. No, okay, so I'm going to take some drugs now. Just a minute. Where are we? Hang on. Where do I stop it? Right. Just a minute, Don, please.
Around the streets late at night, I'm worried because you ain't